I just was thinking about last night. I was sitting up here getting into doctoring. It's easy to have a little evangelistic service and say amen and go home. But sometimes there are things that have to be said. Am I right? No. I was thinking about Moses. How beautiful his faith. I said, Moses here, down a river, no credit cards. He doesn't know where his next meal is going to come from. No natural resources to support him. And you know, the Lord had his hand upon that little boy. Am I right? Yeah. And if you try to protect that boy, the first thing you do, you get him away from where he was going. You think of that. But God let him flow down the river. No milk, no sandwiches, no nothing. And you know, he was in a basket there. And if you got to move a little bit right or left, you can tip the basket and fall in. But he had a balance, am I right? To stay on that basket and go down the river. When he got there, he got right at Pharaoh's kingdom. And Pharaoh was feeding his enemy. He didn't know the difference. Now, if you start thinking about that, then you figure the wisdom of God, and you can never figure it. You try to think the reason, the wisdom of God, having a boy going down the river, a little baby, going down, taking a trip, no tickets, no credit cards, no meals, no place to stay the next night, or no nothing, floating down. That lifts our faith, am I right?
Amen.
To know that he knows tomorrow.
Yes.
I'm so thankful to the Lord for that.
Hallelujah.
I'd like to say I appreciate being here. This is my last service. Brother Audier is going to be preaching tonight. I'd like to say I appreciate Brother Cyril and Brother Audier. I had a good time with that brother. I tease him. He teases me. And I enjoy the services, don't you? He had a lot of things to say. You know, when I leave from the service, I like somebody to give me a challenge. You know, something that will stir me up. You know, I have cut things down. My wife says, don't do these things out of the pulpit. But sometimes people go to sleep, you know. And you say a joke and they laugh and everybody wakes up and you let them have it. That's how you do it, you see. Everybody loves to say, what happened? Then when this happens, bang, you know. But I'm so thankful to the Lord. I met some good Christians and brothers and sisters from Australia. I appreciate it. How many are from Australia here? Bless you. All over the place, brother. You know, I have a tender spot there. I don't know why. Someday I hope I visit that place. Worship the Lord out there. I like the testimony of the brother. Met a brother from Singapore here. You know, the people, I talked to a brother from Singapore, and I said, I wish if I was somewhere, some night, alone for 5 hours, my wife, his wife, and the four of us, just talk about the Lord and have a little dinner. You know, sometimes how you feel to be alone somewhere, talk about the Lord. And ministers, I appreciate all of them. You know, we don't have too much of an outline, that's why we got. But we'll see where we go. I was reading something about history. I like to go back to history. And I was reading something about history that I ran across some time ago doing a little research in a place. And, you know, if you have a little seed, if it's corn, whatever it is, and you plant it to the ground, if it's good seed, good moisture, right environment, sooner or later, that's going to start growing. Am I right? And what you're going to see, you're going to see different stages of it. And I know Brother Bram compares them with the church ages. You know that? Going out there all the time. And sometimes you generate questions in your mind. You say, now, here's some great man. Some great servants of God. How come the prophet pick up Luther, a Trinitarian, to be a messenger? Am I right? How come it? And you say, if that tree was Acts 2:38 at the bottom, I'm expecting to see all the way Acts 2:38. And we've seen the lives of Martin and the rest of the saints, that their life, you know, was reflecting Jesus Christ's baptism. But Luther was a Trinitarian. He was kind of a tough guy. You know, he went to Oxford there, and he was kind of a rebel. But God needs sometimes some rebels to get things going. You know, God knows us and puts us together. Am I right?
Amen.
That's what it is. And I was studying history, and one night we'll play a tape of the church, and Brother Branham said, I like Calvin said some great things. That's John Calvin, you know, in the 1500s in Geneva, Switzerland. And he's the one, really, Calvin, that probably wrote more about predestination than anybody else. The two major doctrines, Calvinism, you know, you're by foreknowledge you are chosen, and then Arminianism, whosoever will. And Arminianism was so far off to the right that they left the will upon the man. Well, it's true by true choosing, but God has the foreknowledge to predestinate. Am I right? God doesn't come by accident. He knew each one of us that were going to be in Him. And I like that. And then, you know, I was asking one time, he says, whosoever will come unto me. I says, who's give you the power to will spiritually? You can try by the flesh to will a lot, but unless God does it, you'll never do it. Correct? So I was studying out. Brother Bram was seeing that tape. He says, Calvin, kill a man. He had no business to do that. He said, Calvin said good things, but he says he killed that man. I said, who did he kill, Calvin? So I started searching on that. And I ran across to a man by the name Servetus, Michael Servetus. And when I started studying about that man, I just surrendered. Because Brother Branham, we're going to church history, you know that? You take the church ages, Brother Branham, we kind of close our eyes and say, we got it. You know? That's what happened with the people. They think they got a code, they got the whole story. Brother Branham went to church history and defined certain things. Am I right? So I was running across, and when I started reading about him, the first statement that was made, he says, unquestionably the leading anti-Trinitarian in the period of Reformation was born in Villeweva. Anti-Trinitarian during the Luther's time. I says, here is that little life of that seed to repent and be baptized in Jesus' name coming through. Luther, you know, was pushing for the Catholic Church and so on, and we are independent. But remember, before Luther started, he didn't just pop out in the middle of nowhere. It was a great man before him prepared the way, set a platform for Luther. It was Savonarola. Savonarola went to Venice and preached the gospel. And people were repenting. And you know, Venice is a culture city. They took their customs, you know, for different parades. They put them in the square there in Venice. So they burned the whole thing and they closed all the bars. It was a big revival. The Pope heard about it and he called Savonarola to come and see him. Savonarola, it was about, I think, the middle of the fall. He said to the Pope, thus saith the Lord, he said to him, before the end of the year, you drop dead. And he did. So these were powerful men. Am I right? This was powerful men. He says, thus saith the Lord, you're going to die. And now, this Servetus, he started speaking against the Trinity, and he had a tremendous revelation. When he went over to Geneva there, that was the time of the Reformation and everything was moving and praise the Lord. But Servetus says, listen, he says, there's only one God, not three gods.
Amen.
He says, the 1500s, you have done a pretty good job to get away from Romanism. But history 306, you know, the Nicaea Council put Trinitarian. He says, that's not there. And of course, you know, he's been hated by the greatest theologians at the time. Now, by rejecting the Trinity, I'm reading history. By rejecting the Trinity in essence of the Godhead, he insists the Trinity of manifestations. Now, remember, I'm not reading from Godhead explained. I'm reading from history. Brother Branham speaks about three manifestations of one God. Am I right? And I like what he did. He says the Holy Ghost, too, is dependent on the resurrection of Christ for the consummation of his character and his truth. These are 1500s. Sometimes we we think we know everything, and when you start eating things like that, you say, what are we doing? You know? But now we see that he starts defining, you know, his Trinity doctrine. He says, in this view, the real Trinity is constituted a Trinity not of things or so-called persons of the divine essence, but a threefold manifestation of himself by one and indivisible God. So you see, the plan was going up. Luther was pushing up, you know, for the plan to come up. But in there, God preserved that life of the Word of God, one God. Isn't it beautiful what God is doing? That man was sentenced to death. They burned him alive. You know, there are many saints that gave their lives there. And the instrument that really killed him was Calvin. But when Calvin and his associates got together, they said, this man must die. Listen to this. The council got together, about 200 of them. Some of them refused to go to the meeting because they realized that Michael Servetus was right. He says the condemned man was profoundly moved and placed earnestly for mercy, but he could not be persuade the council in October 27, 1553. Without having changed his views, any important particular, but not without exhibiting the marks of a Christian spirit, he was burned alive. How do you think about that? God preserved that life, am I right? All the way through. And some of the great messengers of our age, I was reading about the messengers and their lives and some of them. Do you remember the messengers? Who was the first one? Second? Next? Huh? You remember St. Columba? A great man. You start digging. I have so much to do. I'm trying to put a book on Columba. You talk about the power of God. Columba was out in the desert. And he heard a scream. There were two thieves with swords. Took the sword, these two thieves, and it was a boy, I think, shepherd or something, and they killed the boy. They put the knife through his heart. Columba was praying out there, and he heard the scream. He ran out there, the boy was dead. He picks up the boy, says, in the name of Jesus Christ, leave. The boy stood up. He told the rest of them, in the name of Jesus Christ, drop dead and die. One time he was witnessing to some people out in the middle of nowhere. And he wanted to baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. And he took a rock and struck another rock and brought water down. Baptized the man and then he went his way. He was in the island of Mule one time, serving God. And Columba was one of the deacons. That time was serving God like that. And they had some kind of a festival. They couldn't get any wine. And you know what Columba did? He took two jugs, took them over to the well, and filled them up with water. He brought them right to the altar. He says, that same Jesus that made that miracle, that make the water into wine, he's right here. And he made it to wine and served communion. Talk about the power of God. You know, Adamnan wrote about his life, and Columba was on time, the miracles and the manifestations of God. Columba ran into a house, and that house was burned for 3 days. And nobody can come close to it by 500 yards from the heat. And Columba was seeing divine revelations from God for 3 days. And the people, the flames were going up, and nobody can get close to the place. God was with Columba in there. Talk about the power of God. You see. Appreciate what the Lord is doing, isn't it? Sometimes studying church history, it helps you. The saints of God, you know. There's a book of the Fox Book of Martyrs. How many heard of that? You know. The new edition, it's a little teeny book, about 100 pages, big letters. Brother Buckles have seen it. I have one of the original copies, 1,200 pages, that carries the conversation of the martyrs between the church and the martyrs. Some of the sisters, you know, they used to bring right in the front of them their little babies and says, "We're going to kill your little baby. Are you willing to accept this church?" And they had their babies cut their throats right in front of them. And they stood for Jesus. Today, we have no problems and run away. We don't like that. I'm just wondering, we think sometimes we are so deep and are so light. A few years ago, a guy in Africa, South America, you remember the Jones case that so many people were killed? You remember Jim Jones case? They make a study, Stanford University make that, the Magnino report. And they visit all the people that they're connected with our church. And they went to Los Angeles, San Francisco, they interviewed each one of these persons. And they says, "How come you didn't go down there?" And they recognized one common thing that these people had. They were able to discern the difference between claims and practices. I'm wondering if somebody tried to compare the two for us who claim to be the bride and everything and our practices, where we stand. They were able to make the difference. Now, that's our outline. We're going to get into something about Elijah. When you make an automobile, you probably test it and you go through tests and you make fenders and you make this and that. And finally, you make molds that when you pour for a fender, you're going to get the same fender over time. You know, you go from research to marketing, marketing, engineering, engineering, production, and then back and forth, you know, change notices, quality control, all these things that you go through. But now when you prepare that, it's a prototype. Am I right? A prototype comes protos, which means the first type. That's what you did, and you're going to do the rest of it like that. It's a model, we call it something. And now God makes a model, and that model is going to be Elijah. Because he speaks about Elijah on John the Baptist, Elijah in the last days. So to me, if Elijah will come, I want to know what Elijah is. Don't you? You know, somebody says, Elijah in the last days will appear. What I'm expecting, a guy with wings flying from the sky, dropping in the middle of the churches, here I am. What I'm expecting to see. And I think probably today, if we just go through some scriptures, some verses, we can see what we're expecting. And in 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, well, let's, instead of going to 17th, we don't have the time, let's go to the 18th chapter. We see there that on the 17th verse, certain things happen. And God now starts speaking to Elijah before that and what to do, what not to do. Now, the 17th verse, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, and Ahab said unto him, "Art thou he that troubled Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast follow Balaam." You know, when you leave God, it's trouble. And backsliding is so progressive that it doesn't even know it's happening to you. You know, you let down your devotions, your prayer, you're so worn, and then you're so weak, the devil comes around, tips you over. You see, when we have a problem, we better examine the cause of the problem instead of the flower. What kind of a seed you plant, that's what you're getting. So, if we have, for example, somebody that eats their own food and develops a sickness, a disease, let's go back. And here, there was trouble in Israel. And Ahab says, "You're the problem, Elijah." Elijah says, "I'm not the problem." He says, "You are the one that, and your house, that make a mess out of this place." Now, Israel were the people of God. And we see that conflict now between Elijah and the king there. And you know, Brother Branham says Elijah was the weakest king that ever lived, because he led Israel to a terrible state. But in another way, I like Ahab. You know why? Because he knew how to repent afterwards. you wear sackcloth and fall down. How would you like to wear sackcloth? And he says, the scripture says, and sackcloth was against his flesh. You know, normally in repentance of sackcloth other days, you take it off at night and you go to bed, the next day you wear sackcloth. For you and I, probably it's nothing, but you take a king and takes off his garment of the kingdom and throws it on the side and goes with sackcloth day and night repenting before God. That's a big thing, isn't it? It's humiliating. You become dead to yourself. And what did God do? God sent back Elijah and says, go and tell Ahab it's all right with him, but his children are going to pay for it. Ahab was a wicked king, though. And now we see that the answer was given by Elijah. Now he said, therefore, send and gather to me Israel unto the Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the grove, 400, you know, right from Jezebel's table. You know, sometimes religion becomes a meal ticket. There's a difference between serving God and using the gospel for a job. Ministry is not a job, it's a service. Am I right? See, there's no quitting hours. Something is eating you up all the time. When you see the last days, they're falling away so great, and you sit in the corner, you don't want to say anything, and you just try to go on, and you still have to say things. Ministry is not a picnic. You deal with people. Other jobs you might deal with parts. You put the part there, it's going to stay there. In the ministry, you put the person here, by the time you got there, they fall on the side. What happened to you? Well, you are no good. Their prayer life is gone sometimes. You know that? The same thing, remember, that you eat daily, getting up in the morning, have breakfast. The same thing you have to eat spiritually to survive. Because every time you go out, demons and spirits are affecting you. You know that? You go to a shopping center, you see the clothing, you see this, you see that. You pick up a magazine, you turn it around, all of them are demons and spirits trying to penetrate in you. That's a beautiful dress, that's this and that. And I knew people, my wife knows people that I says, well, I want to lose weight, I want to look slim, and they go to the store and they buy a beautiful dress that's probably two sizes thinner. They never wear it because they never lost their weight, but they are dreaming about it. There's nothing worse to be a consumer sometimes, am I right? So now we see that he called all these guys that are with Jezebel, prophets and so on. And so Ahab said, remember now, Ahab knew that there was something in that man. And Ahab now obeys who? A man that's not a king or nothing. A man with an empire. A man that can call his army or send two soldiers, says, go down there and cut his head. That's a king. And now she says, go and get these boys and bring them over there, Israel, and gather the prophets together on the Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people. Now listen, the people are down there. Elijah comes to them. And he said, now how long have you been between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And the people answer him not a word. You know what it was? They were lukewarm. They're neither hot, neither cold. We'll make the prototype now. That's Revelation 3. I wish if you were cold or hot. Because you are neither, I spew you out of my mouth. That's the last day's message. Am I right? Amen. Of Elijah? Amen. And here the Elijah says to thee. And Elijah came to all the people and says, how long? You are between two opinions. If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, with other words, don't play church. Amen. I mean the message. What message? There's so many messages we don't even know what it is anymore. It's very, very important to know what side you belong. The message of the last days tells you this, come out from amongst them and be separate. Do you know sometimes the world around us give us so many demons and spirits that, oh, not me. Never exclude yourself, friend. I never exclude myself that the devil can throw a spirit upon me and I can be terrible. Peter had it, and Jesus gave it behind me, Satan. Sometimes you get another spirit. We go out, work all the week, no devotion, no prayer time, no studying the Word. We come Sunday with all these devils in us. Now, Pastor, tell me the truth. We are in the message. Takes you an hour to be ready for it, and that's dismissing time. And you get nothing. Am I right? So really, the preparation of what side you belong, what side you were all week. Oh, I'm in the message. By their fruits you shall know them. Have you read this book? Have you heard a tape? Have you been convicted? Or you are dead and you don't even know the difference. You know, sometimes you go to some conventions, it's not here and I can say that. The first thing you see these guys having a cowboy hat, a bell buckle with an eagle, Malachi 4. They got quotes kind of like that. How was with the prophet and so on. Get out of here. I never see these people at the altar. I never see these people praying. The only thing, they are philosophers. They don't know what side they belong. Am I right? I like to see a warm Christian. I'm so thankful to the Lord for brothers and sisters that hear that something happens to them. Go to somebody and says, forgive me, sister. It's the greatest victory you can imagine. There's nothing greater thing to see that load that presses you, leave you. Say, forgive me. The greatest word, one of the greatest words in the Scriptures. So Elijah was sitting there and he says, now bring all of them. He said to them, I wish if you do this, if you were cold or hot, if you're with God, just follow God. If you are with Baal, follow Baal. Quit saying I'm in a message. Quit saying I'm an Israelite. And now God prepares a mold, you know, a prototype that we're going to see later on. And if you see what the last days Elijah was saying, he says, come out from amongst them. Be separate. Don't be lukewarm. I'll spew you out of my mouth. Correct? Why? Because the prototype was back there. Now I'm getting into something. Let them therefore give us two bullocks. Now he said to them, now listen, now what I want you to do, and Elijah said unto them, he says, it only remained one thing to do, let's get to a showdown. You have all these prophets here. And you know, Elijah had the word of the Lord. He didn't say, now, I would like for you to take a couple of snakes and let's fry them. No, no. And keep in your mind two things. 1 Kings 18 and Leviticus 1. He asked for what? Two bullocks. Am I right? Two animals. He says, you got the same, I got the same. If you probably put a little piece of paper and might be going a little bit back and forth to Leviticus, it's after Exodus, the book of Leviticus. It's in the Old Testament, by the way, for you that you haven't opened your Bible for a month. That's cutting, isn't it? And on the fifth verse he says, and he shall kill a bullock before the Lord. The priest of Aaron, the sons and so on. Now we'll go back to the kings and he says, now he takes these two and he says, now the 24th verse says, and call ye in the name of your gods and I will call on the name of the Lord. He was not a Trinitarian. Am I right? You got a revelation of the name of the Lord.
Right.
Elijah was not a Trinitarian. He says the name, not the names. And he tells these fellows, he says now, and call ye on the name of your gods, not our gods, not my God. I have nothing to do with it. You are Israel, but you are backslid. You're finished. You're gone. And he says, you call on the name of your gods, he said to them, and I will call on the name, not the names, of the Lord. See, the revelation of the name way back then. And when the last day, Elijah, what did he do? He preached the name of the Lord. Am I right?
Yes.
He baptized in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
He proclaimed the name of the Lord.
Yes.
He made the distinction between the titles and the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Correct? Yes. Did he call the Trinitarians pagans? Did he tell them all they got all these gods? Three gods? Yes. Elijah tells them, go and get your gods and I'll get mine. And what did he do? He stand on the pulpit and he says, now I challenge you. He says, come and do it. It's in the name of the Lord. You remember in one of the tapes, I think it was while another denomination or the great harlot, that he said this. He says, now, he says, I says, in the name of the Holy Church, do this. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But just when I use the name of the Lord, then the devils obey. Elijah had the revelation of the name of the Lord. So now he said to them, and the God that answered the fire, let him be God.
Hallelujah.
You see what happens? Not the gods, but the God. In other words, I got the answer. You're a guinea pig. I know what's going to happen. Correct? He says, the God. Not the gods, the God. And he continues on, and he says, now, listen, he says, it has been well spoken that people say, let's go with it. And these people were getting ready to go to Baal. Why did he say gods? Because at the time of Elijah, you see what happens, there were the temples all over of Baal and Astoreth. Baal was the sun god, Astoreth was the moon goddess. You know that? And in the temples, in order to worship, a woman had to wear a garment that pertains to a man. A man had to wear a garment that pertains to a woman. I'm just wondering if it's necessary to study a little history sometimes to see what happened. If you study history, Astoreth said that she says, I was born as a man, but I changed to a woman to breach the equality between God, man, and women. It was the equal rights job. When the last Elijah came, find the same place. Am I right? When John the Baptist came, find the same. When the last Elijah came, find the same place. Am I right? When John the Baptist came, find the same place. He says, Herod, you nice belly dancer, I'll give you 50% of my kingdom. It's a beautiful thing to make a parallel sometimes, isn't it? To see what God is doing. So now all these things are true because the Word of God tells us. History tells us. So Astoreth, the moon goddess, was ruling at the time. I'm the one that breached the equality between man and woman. I was born a man and became a woman to breach that equality. And that's the same spirit of equal rights. You see, we're not doormats, sisters. We don't believe in that. A man that believes you're a doormat, that's how they know Jesus. Jesus never stepped on you. You understand? Some men think that, my wife, I won't step down to fulfill the word. No. It says, as husband and wife, so Christ and the church. If you look at the scripture, it says, for Christ loved so much the church and gave himself for it. So I'm just wondering what love we have to step on somebody. That hurts, but true. Love the church so much, he says, so husband has to do the same. All the sisters ready to say, amen. And Elijah said unto Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves first. And now they got into business. And these people took the bullock, which was given them. They dress it and call on the name of Baal, from morning till noon, saying, "Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, nor did that answer. And they leaped upon the altar, which was made. Leaped is pido, dancing in the spirit. Praise God. Baal, we got it. We got it. But you know, no matter how much you do bodily exercise, if your heart is not right by Calvary, you missed it. I'm in a message. I got a spoken word books. Just hold a minute. Do you have the Jesus of the spoken word books? The instructions were given to Elijah from Elijah, the prophet of God, and these people obey the prophet of God, and they were still heathen. Now we're getting into something. Am I right? But brother, I believe the prophet. So they did too, and they did what the prophet told them. They were in the message of the hour. What about if you and I stand there? Brother Ogier said to me, "Brother David, you're not in the message." I said, "Why?" "Elijah said to worship Baal and you don't do it." Is it true or not? That's why, friends, you got to bring the message to the scriptures. But God knew that this Israel was backslid. On the previous chapter, Elijah went to a widow woman. But you know what? That widow woman had a secret. She says, "As the Lord God liveth." So she was in contact. She got prayer meetings during the weeks and was talking to him. But the rest of the Israelites, they didn't know which direction they were going. They were in the messages going on. Her denominational husband was dead. But now we see here that Elijah looked at the circumstances and they leaped at the altar. Praise God. Nothing against jumping and dancing in the spirit, but the sacrifice was based on Baal instead of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
There's only one redemptive blood, that's Jesus Christ. Amen. No blood of no man, no prophet can save you except Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Correct? So now these people, all of a sudden, and it came to pass at noontime, Elijah mocked them. Can you imagine a true prophet mocking them? Mocking them! You got to see sometimes this message has a twofold meaning for the bride and the lost.
Yes, yes.
You know that?
Yes,
you look at the scriptures, there are two messages. You say two messages, yes. In one of them says this. He says, "Come out from amongst her because I'm going to burn her with fire." So I come out so I don't burn with fire because somebody's going to get burned with fire. See the difference there? He tells somebody he's going to get burned with fire. To me, get out so you don't get burned with fire. And Elijah started mocking them and he said to them, "Now look," he says, you better start talking to this God because he might be pursuing in a journey. We don't know what's happening. He might be sleeping. And you must wake him up."
Yes.
And he says, "You cry louder." And they start cutting themselves. And in the matter with knives and everything else. And everything else. Just, we want to reach God. We want to reach God.
Yes.
But you know what happened? You cannot reach God without Calvary.
Yes.
You start from there. You start from repentance. Yes. That's why, brother and sister, that's a glorious step. To repent. The load of sin leaves you. Now listen, these people had a code. And the code says, he might be asleep. But you know what? That's why I say sometimes you can take a code out of the prophet's message and you can make a mess out of it. You got to bring it to the scriptures. You see, I run away from people and they got codes without the Bible. You know why? Because they don't know what they're talking about. You know what? If we had to do it right, now I know they were backslidden, they couldn't do it. If they had an ounce of God, you know what they would have done? They would have gone to Deuteronomy, the book of the 13th chapter and the first verse. Listen to this. Thirteen one.
If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, remember it's true. Thereof he speak unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods. Thou shalt not hearken to, and let thou shalt not hearken. Thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. If I continue, if I have the time, it says that prophet should be killed. So Brother Roger and I will go to Elijah, grab him here. He says, come over here, boy. You deserve death because you have us worship other gods. But Elijah knew it. He knew the conditions. He knew they were blind. Did they obey the prophet of the hour? Absolutely. But they refused to take the message to the word. I'm saying a lot of things there. You don't build a doctrine outside of the infallible word of God. Because this is the word of God. Then, Brother Dave, what about the message? The message reveals what's in there. When I start getting to the ministry, I went to a place to preach, and a man comes at the end, he said to me, I don't like it. I said, fine. You know, you don't argue. Fine. He says, you mentioned Brother Brown's name only 2 times, and Christ 20-some times. I said, I know I'm living among infidelity. You see, it's the message, am I right? And you know, that's why I love to bring quotes. But you know what happened? Sometimes, if you don't bring the quotes into the scripture, you can create a cult. I can say a story, but at the time with Brother Brown, but I better not, because you scare you. I was one time, Brother Charles, go ahead, one time I was in Jeff, and I was with the closest people of Brother Branham. They took me to a little trailer of Brother Branham's office. It was a 10, it was 8 by 24, a little typewriter in the corner, you know, typical of his office. There. So he said, I wanted to talk to you. These guys came over, so I took my Bible. You know, with me, I was visiting, like, none of them had their Bible. So he said, what do they want to talk to me? What have I done? And you know, I said, have I offended anybody? What I'm doing? So she down and said, start talking to me. And you know what happened? If somebody talks to me Chinese that I don't know, that's what I felt around them. So I said, listen, I said, what about if you give me a scripture so to know what to do? No, 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 you don't have the revelation. Okay. So I couldn't understand, and I said this before the Lord, what they were talking about. Later on, a few years later, I find out one of them was Caleb, and the other one was Joshua, you know, and they pick up a bunch of people in the message, drag them over there, going to Prescott and all that stuff. God will blind you sometimes. You don't hear these things. But you see, have you ever had somebody coming with a doctor and you're running around and you have your Bible? It says, brother, the prophet said this, the prophet said that. You say, can you tell me where in the scripture? The test ground, they don't like it. Correct? Now Elijah says, boys, listen, what are we going to do? He says, now what are we going to do? He says, you scream more. And the scripture says he mocked them. Now I'm standing back with Brother Ojar. Brother David, listen. Elijah says to worship Baal. He might be asleep. Do you believe every word that the prophet said? I said, yes, sir. He said that God might be asleep. You better believe it or you go to hell. But you have to test it by the word. The prophet says from Genesis to Revelation. Am I right? He says now to me, Brother David. He says, now let me tell you what the prophet said. The prophet says this. And came to pass that Elijah mocked them. He says aloud, for he is God. Either he is talking or he is pursuing or he is in a journey or, you know, he's asleep and you have to wake him up. Do you believe that? Do you believe what the prophet said? I said, yes, sir. Then do you believe we should go to Balaam? I looked at him. He said to me, you are not in the message. Get out of here. I hope we're getting somewhere this morning. I'm just reading the simple gospel. This is my notes. This is not a simple gospel. You say, Brother David, is this the mold? Is this the pattern? Yes. Did the prophet say, how many tapes stay with your denomination? Did he do that or not? Many tapes, he says. It's all right, he says. Stay with your denomination. But you see, if I take it and put it on the Word, I go to Revelation 17. It tells me, come out from amongst them because and be separate because you're going to be burned with a mother harlot. So I said, I'm getting out. Let the ones that want to stay. It's fine with them. Correct? You cannot take one little iota and make a doctrine. You've got to bring it through the Scriptures.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched some of these doctrines? They quote a verse and they never refer to the verse, the meaning of the verse, but they throw you some quotes to confuse you.
Yeah.
That's true. You see, they don't like this Bible. They don't like the altar. They don't like repentance. They don't like the blood. I got the church ages. You see, the church ages that you read is because in Revelation it says there are seven of them. That's why there are seven. Correct? And he took each one of them and he says what it was. He wrote a book. Now you say, I don't want this and I want this. And remember, you cannot test a quote unless you bring it to the Scripture. One time I said to somebody, I said, you don't know what the message is unless you bring it to the Word. He said to me, that is the Word. I said, I agree with that. That's the revelation, but it's one foundation. It says, the prophet says he will not add or take away one word out of this book. That's how many messages you got. A person came to me one time, said to me, are you in a message? I said, what message? I mean the message of Paul. He said, you go to hell. I says, Paul says, if an angel from heaven brings you any other gospel than what I have preached, he says, let him be accursed. That's how many gospels we got. He says, you don't understand. You don't have the revelation. They don't even know what a revelation is, and they tell you, you don't have the revelation. That's why they refuse to go back to the Pentecostal fathers. It's pretty hard. That's the truth. Correct? I got a code. Big revelations. I better move because I got 10 more minutes left. Now, all of a sudden, it was the evening time. Elijah said unto the people, come near unto me. And the people came near unto him, and he prepared the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Denominations broke it down. There's one altar of the Lord, that's Calvary.
Amen.
Am I right?
Amen.
He says, forget your denomination. Forget your churches. Forget your membership. He says, be born again by the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah.
What do we have done? We are the message. We believe every word. By the life of the word, has it applied to us?
Right.
Friends,
amen.
In this meeting, don't forget one thing. The message that Paul gave to the Laodiceans that I read you the first day, when Paul wrote to the Laodiceans, he says this, how much he suffered the revelation of Christ. The second verse, he says, let no man beguile you. Your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, they are doing. It's Calvary.
Amen.
Jesus of Nazareth, the great Jehovah, coming down to die for our sins. Beautiful. The Word of God is so good, isn't it? He tells us what to do. You know, seems to me somebody described it. I don't know the right way to describe. It reminds to me like a nest full of birds. You tap the nest, all the birds open their mouth. Drop anything in there. But now Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. Unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be my name. And remember, before Pentecost, before the Holy Spirit fell, there were 11. And they said, stop it, boys. We need one more. Am I right? For Judas. The people don't care about these things today. That's the Old Testament, you know. We're in a new message, a new Bible, a new God. The Jesus before 63, the Jesus after 63.
Hallelujah.
Listen what he did. And with the stones he built the altar of the Lord. How? In the name of the Lord. It was a Jesus name. He wasn't a Trinitarian. Elijah was Jesus' name. I like the Word of God. It's so beautiful. And now we see he built that altar. Or the 33rd verse, he put the wood on the altar. He cut the bullock pieces. Why he cut it into pieces, do you know? And listen to what he did. He cut it into pieces and laid them in the wood. And he said, fill these barrels, you know, with water. There were four of them, and so one. The 33rd verse that we're reading, there's a statement there. And he put the wood in order. Am I right? Why? Because in Leviticus 1:6, and the sons of Aaron the priest shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order. Elijah had his eye on the word. Am I right? Elijah didn't say, well, throw the wood together. He had his eye on the word. He was fulfilling the word because God has to come down with the Holy Ghost and fire, and you have to have Calvary in order. You know, it's good to have an evangelistic service. And Elijah came down and the fire came down and burned everything, even the water. But Elijah took the water to wash the sacrifice. Sacrifice had to be washed. It's true that consumed the fire and everything, the water and everything, but you see the Baalites didn't even know what it means washing by the water of the word. I better get out of here. So now Elijah says, fill these barrels with water. And four of them burned the sacrifice, and he said, do you, what are you going to do now? Let's wait. And the water run around. Why? In the 34th verse, he said, do it the second time. There were four, right? The second time makes it eight, correct? And he said, do it the third time, makes it 12. I'm sorry, the third time was 12 total, am I right? 12 tribes, 12 stones, 12 pillars of the church, everything. Calvary. Calvary. Takes more than dancing in the spirit and I got a code and you got a code. If you got a code, why don't you worship Baal or bring it to the scripture to see what you worship? The testing area. Time is gone. Now it was the evening time, listen to the 31st verse, and the offering was the evening sacrifice. We're at the end right now. Now listen to something that happened there. Everything was set in order. The word of the Lord, Leviticus 1, is right there. Deuteronomy 13, 2 Thessalonians 2:11, the whole thing was set up right there. You can spend probably a week on that. And Elijah has to pray, right? You know? Not just saying, Lord, thank you, here's the codes. No. You have to kneel down and pray. Some people have a kneel down, they don't even know what it is. You know? You normally, they're the philosophers of the message that you find in some of the conventions that I have been at the porch, something like that with a cowboy hat and a bell buckle. You know, wearing a message. We knew the prophet. We weren't fishing. We weren't hunting. I said to them, forget that. Judas did all that stuff. What are you trying to tell me? And after all, if you come to the bottom of the line, blessed are the ones that they haven't seen and believe.
Amen. Amen.
Too many hitchhikers today. And Elijah now was ready to do something. He says, here, me, O Lord, hear me. And these people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and Thou hast turned their heart back again. What was the message of Elijah? I'm not reading Malachi 4. I'm reading 1 Kings 18, if you please. We're not going to go back before 63. He says, go back to the Pentecostal fathers.
Amen.
Oh, these Pentecostal fathers, the only thing they do, they were up in Jerusalem, a bunch of like drank. We start from Paul. Paul, without Pentecost, doesn't have a message.
Amen.
Let me for a minute take out Pentecost, and you and I are sitting here. We're sitting here, and you said to me, praise God, hallelujah, Jesus came down. He died at the cross. He did this, fine. He did that, fine. But has the sacrifice been accepted? How do you know?
Glory.
At the day of Pentecost, when that Spirit of Christ came down to the believers, He fulfilled that contract between God and man, that I'm with you. I'm in you. The church starts. The church of Christ is, it was only for that age. No more. Forget it. The days of miracles have passed. The people in the message, they reject the whole thing. He says, these people didn't even know nothing. Just fell upon them. They didn't know God. They didn't do this. I tell you what. God never puts His Spirit in the dirty vessels. I want to close with something different, okay? There are two words. Thank you, brother. I don't know what you were doing, but thank you. So now, I'd like to close with two words. I know it might be Greek to you, but I'm just reading my own language. I'm just bringing it up. When Luther came to the scene, back to history, right? There was a man by the name Junius Franciscus. When he came to the Reformation, all of a sudden he pulled out. He says, Luther is coming around. Something is moving, he said. And it was moving. So he ran to Malachi 4, turned the heart to it. He says, probably that's the Malachi to come for us Gentiles. And he stood steady. And he went to 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. The 37th verse, it says, turn their hearts back again. And that word is epistrephal. He went to the function of John the Baptist on Luke 1, 17 and 18. It's epistrephal. But he went to Malachi 4. There was another word that means anistimi, I'm standing. Epistrephal means I'm turning to a definite direction. If that's the chair, that's where I'm going. But in Malachi 4, they got translated into just standing. Isn't it beautiful that the prophet used the same meaning and ignore the Septuagint? And he says, turn back to the fathers. Did he say that or not? Go back to the Pentecostal fathers. Did he say that? Anistimi means just standing. But if it's dreadful, you got to go back there. Pentecostal fathers. The man started digging around. He went all of a sudden to the Catholic Church. He says, now look here. He says, you translate the Vulgate script and the Septuagint script into anistimi, to stand. And he goes to the Hebrews. He doesn't say to stand. He says to go definitely, to turn and to go to. Why did you do that? We are the church. It's already done. It's settled. The Pope says, okay, stay with it. That same Catholic spirit among some of the people in the message.
Yes, yes, yes. That's true. Amen.
When Julius wrote that book, the Latin book, Sacra Parallela, it's in Latin, he defended the three cases of 1 Kings 18, Luke 17, and Malachi 4 as one word, one meaning, one God. There's no contradiction in this word.
Amen.
I love that word. Well, I see that people today says, no, we don't go back to Pentecost. We go, where do you go? Tell me. You dizzy man, where are you going? You know? If you don't go to Calvary for salvation, who's going to save you? Now they are teaching two salvations, one by the blood and one by the word. Listen, friends. The scripture says he took our sins in the body of his flesh. Am I right? And the life of the flesh is in the blood. They throw away the life of the flesh, which is the blood of Christ, and they keep the body, a dead body. You know what reminds me? On the day of Calvary, the body of Jesus dying on the cross for the sinful world, and they were fussing for the garment. Who's going to get it or cast lots? That cross of Calvary, Pentecost, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, that Elijah was preaching the truth back there. I wish we can go back to the sacrifice, the difference between what's a burnt offering and start together and then take it to Romans, present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Nothing left of you but Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I love the message because I see it in the scriptures. I have no problem with the message in the scripture. I have problems with people. And you know, when you ask them a question, you're not reading the message. You're negative. You don't believe in this. And they're always trying to get an edge, sometimes on you, that you know what? They were closer to the prophet. You know, I better not start. Bunch of Ishmaelites. What was the message of the hour with Abraham? What was the message of that hour was circumcision. Am I right? Is it true or not? What did Abraham have done? I'm closing. He took that Ishmael and circumcised him the 13th year. Correct? Ishmael in the message. But he wasn't Isaac, word material.
Right.
Let me read you a verse here. I don't know what it is. We'll find in a minute. The book of Genesis now. Listen to the cry of a father with the 17th verse. The 17th chapter, starting from the 15th verse. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah, thy wife, thou shalt call, you know, her name Sarah. Sarah shall,
amen,
her name. And the 17th verse, and Abraham fall upon his face and laugh. Am I right?
Amen.
The father of faith,
God,
laughing the promise, but was unconditional. If God had made Calvary what I'm going to do, I have no chance. But I believe in it, and he pulled me to it. I didn't help him to die for me. I crucified him. My sins did it.
Yes. Yes.
And now Abraham, laughing, said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that's 100 years old? Friends, one time or another, we doubt the promises of God, each one of us. But it was the promise and the grace of God that kept us.
Amen.
Correct? No matter how low you stoop down, you fall down, get up. Get a hold of yourself before God. I go on with God. Right? Brother, forgive me. Sister, forgive me. Devil, get out of here. You know, I'm not an evangelist. I don't know how Billy Andrews does his foot like that. But you know, I should get out from here, devil. And now listen to the sad story. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. A daddy, the son. You say, the prophet prayed for me. Doesn't make it to go to heaven without the cross. Here's their own son. I imagine Abraham comes at the home. Let's go, Ishmael, and kill a calf or something, somewhere to eat. We need some meat. Goes hunting, fishing. Put him in his little speech, says, I love you. And I listened to this, and God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son.
Amen.
And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant. And with a seed, not the seeds, but the seed which is Christ after him. Now God says, answers to Abraham. You pray, I'll tell you what I have done. You cry about your boy Ishmael, I'll tell you what I will do for him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. In other words, quit praying, I already heard what you have to say. Behold, I have blessed him. I will make him fruitful and multiply him. That word plethino means I'll give him big churches and members. Wow. Popularity. Will kill you. Ishmael had it. God promised it to him. What did you say there? 12 kingdoms. Ethne, not princes. Ethnos there. 12 ethne shall be God. And I will make him a great nation. Now, if you go with me to Genesis 25 for a minute to show you one thing, and we close. Genesis 25, he speaks about around the 13th verse, and according to the generations of the firstborn of Ishmael, Nebajoth, right? Correct? Who was Nebajoth? The founder of Babylon. How do you like that? The firstborn of Abraham by the flesh was Ishmael. And God gave him a promise, 12 nations. And there are 12 names. I wish if I can get to each one of them. The first one was the founder of Babylon. And who was that guy that was circumcised in the message of that hour? Who was that guy? Abraham prayed for him. He says, oh God, Ishmael, my living eyesight. But there was a time down in the book of Genesis. I would see there had come a separation, right? And Abraham gave a big feast. What was that feast? The doctrine of apogalactesis, wean from the breast. Ishmael never had it. Isaac had it. That doctrine of wean from the breast. If you go to Samuel, Samuel's mother says he won't go to the temple in the first chapter until he's weaned from the breast. Now the prophet says, who shall understand doctrine? Who shall he do that? Those that have been weaned from the breast. The separation came. That boy was circumcised. Now in the wilderness, no water. So Abraham gets up, Sarah says, get that boy and get out of here. Somewhere, you and the world has to separate. You know that? My daddy was a preacher. My mother was a good Christian. My uncle was the prophet. My this and this and that, but it's what you are. The young kids, your daddy might be a good Christian, but are you saved by the blood of Jesus? Correct? Have you been baptized in his name? You know? Not your daddy's heritage, but his Jesus' name. And we see that Ishmael started going there. And all of a sudden, he needed something, right? Well, you needed water. And start crying. Lord, Lord, where is the water? And God says, and he heard the cry of the child. Am I right? Still, flesh-born individual from Abraham, God still listened to him and answered his prayers. But I know because God answered my prayers, it's more than that. It's a fuse. It's a joint between you and Jesus that does it. You see, I go to the prayer meeting and Brother Branham says, I see an unbeliever and goes through and he's not... And he's getting healed. And a little sister that loves God and goes on and nothing happens. Ishmael reached God, and his faith reached God because he was a carnal believer. And sometimes heathens will believe, will be healed without being saved. You remember what he said in the tape 3861? God had explained. He says in that tape, he says this. He says, it's time to quit healing unbelievers. And now Ishmael started looking around. And the scripture says, and God opened his eyes. And he saw the water. He got revelations. What I'm saying is, don't let anything substitute Calvary. Because that's where you learn how to die to yourself.
Yeah.
Calvary, friends. You see, Brother David, give a definition in a minute. Calvary is the separating line. When you go there, that's where the old nature dies.
Yeah.
And the new nature comes.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That's the simple way.
Amen.
You know, everything else that you do with the flesh, you can't help it. You'll be in a mess later. Now, I think this morning we'll have a baptism service. We'll identify, we're buried with Jesus. I don't know if there's anybody else here who wants to be baptized. You must be baptized if you haven't been baptized. You know what? That's a confession. You don't want to be Nicodemus by night. You know, Nicodemus doesn't want daytime to know what's going on, just by night. Some people don't want to be Christians in the world. They just want to go to church. You have to confess Christ. Am I right? You know, I don't want to be Nicodemus. You know, Nicodemus comes from the word Nico and Demos. He conquered the politicians, but he never got to Jesus. He's still Nicodemus, his name. He was never called like Theophilus, the friend of God. I mean, He never had this kind of a name. He was a politician. He conquered the politician and went to Jesus' master. But you know, once you are baptized, you confess him that he has done something in your soul. There was a young lady praying here last night, prayed there, seeking the Lord, waiting there. And you know, this morning I got up and I was thinking about that young lady. I said, Lord, I don't know what she wants, the Holy Ghost or what. Feel her, meet her needs. We're here today. It takes very few seconds to get ready to be baptized. Correct? And you know what? There's a party up in heaven.
Hallelujah.
That Betty and Helen, you know, confessed tonight in Gisborne, New Zealand, that they are dead with Jesus. I love them. Took too much of the time. But God bless you. It has been a pleasure to be here with Brother Cyril. I love the people. There are things said that they were hard. But a convention is not a picnic. We have souls that are falling over the ditch. Am I right? Sometimes you go to meetings and you see nothing but corpse. Corpse. God, where is Calvary? Where is the Holy Ghost? God sent a message in this hour. Where they are going? What are they doing? So thankful for Jesus. It's a pleasure working with Brother Ojar. I like to say in my heart, I have enjoyed. You know, I wish if he was preaching instead of me. He does it in a way that he looks you in the face, he laughs. He has a knife in your back. You know? But you know what? If a doctor can make me laugh and make me well by cutting me, I love it. Correct? I love it. That's what I need. I don't know. I say thank you to all of you people that hugged me and said thank you and so on. You know, all these things are done to build together the body of Christ. Think what I said today. There's a reason I got a code. Bring it to the scripture. I got a code for somebody else. Worship Baal. And I was the prototype of the Elijah of the one to come. Brother Abraham said one time to a woman preacher, he says, you're healed. Go and continue your ministry. What about if a woman comes here and says to me, Brother David, I want to preach today? What would you do? She got a coat too. What would you do? You better balance it with the Word of God to know where you stand. I love you. God bless you all.